Well, thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you, Linda and Noel, for the word or for the music tonight. My name is Robert Womack. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. I'm up here tonight because Pastor David's daughter is getting married this weekend, and he said, I need somebody to fill in for me. So he went to the bottom of the barrel and called me. No, anyway, he said, ask me if I could do it, and I said, yes. So I'm glad to be here. So as I was thinking about doing this, I thought, you know, this is one of my favorite desserts, ho-hos. I buy them, I stick them in the freezer, and when I want one, I just go get it. It's one of my favorites. So I have bought these, and I have provided them for you, every one of you in here for tonight. Okay? All right, let's pray before we get started. Okay, gracious Heavenly Father, I do thank you that your presence is here, that we ask you to loose your presence in this room and touch every heart and every soul. Help us to understand who you are, your intentions for us, and what our lives should be through you. Father, I give myself to you. I yield myself so that you can speak through me, use my words to be the words you want to convey to the folks here. We praise your mighty name, and we worship you till the end of our days. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's just get started with, this is the healing service. And I want to start off tonight with us knowing who we are or what God's intention for us would be. I'm going to start with Genesis 1:26, and I have used the English Standard Version. Only believe, that's right, only believe. No, that's not in there. Okay. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image or our likeness. Okay, you see that paraphrase right there where it says, is God sickly or frail? That's not in the Bible. I put that in there and Wendy copied it for me by chance. It's okay. If we were made in the image and likeness of God, is God sickly or frail? No, he's not. So we are supposed to be more like him. All right. And God said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth. Again, that paraphrase is not in the Bible, so Wendy took my notes and stuck it in there again. Thank you, babe. I'm all good for you. You're good. You're awesome in every way. Our bodies are earth. We're made from the dust. The earth is the soil. You have dominion over the earth. So if you start breaking down the words, you weren't supposed to see this for another verse or two, but I love you, babe. And then you have dominion over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. The next verse, Genesis 2:7, is where we were supposed to understand this. Then the Lord God formed, that is, created the body of man from the dust of the ground. That word earth, again, is not in there, but I wanted you to recognize if you have dominion over the earth, your body is earth. God gave you dominion over that upon the day of creation. Okay, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being, an individual complete in body and spirit. Now, lots of times people will tell you that God has created us in his image and his likeness in spirit. Which is wonderful. We are created in God's image and his likeness and spirit. But he also did it in physical because he said we're complete in body. So remember, God created you this way. All right. I want to go back to, let's say, Henry Ford. Most people here have heard of Henry Ford. He was the manufacturer, a car manufacturer. He created a car, the Model A, let's see, or Model T. And he created these vehicles with specific functions in them. He put an engine in them to give them propelling or motion. He put seats in them. He put steering wheels in them. He put all of these functions or specifics in this car. He was the manufacturer of it. I don't know if he invented it or not, but he was creating all of these cars. As he creates these cars, he makes every one of them with the same function. That assembly line comes off, and the Model T he made 2 years ago is the same as what he made 5 years from now, or back then. He created something and put specific functions in it. Every inventor or every manufacturer of a product does the same thing. The iPhone calls. It also computes. It also is a calculator. It's also a recorder. All of those functions were put in the iPhone. And every iPhone that's made has those same functions. Right? Okay. God is our creator, our manufacturer. And he created mankind in his image and his likeness, but he put special or certain functions in each person. So the first one here is, if any of you in here get cut and you start to bleed, your body will, the blood will start to clot and try to stop the bleeding, and then your body will start to heal. That's in almost, I would say, every human being and almost in every animal. That is a function that God created and put inside of you. Then, another function is if you break a bone and we reline that bone back up, it will instantly start to heal and repair itself. If it is lined up correctly, that bone will heal and be normal again. That is what God has put inside of you. He put the blood and the clotting inside of you. That's a function he created you with. Our bodies are exposed to viruses, bacteria, I don't know, you name it, parasites, all kinds of things. So our bodies have what's called white blood cells. These white blood cells deal with infections that are in our bodies. They attack foreign molecules that come within us. And let's see. They produce antibodies and they fight the infection. They also do other functions in our immune system. This is a function that God has placed in your body. So we're starting to see the intention of God. God has intentionally put something in you for your body to heal from cuts, from broken bones, from diseases. That's his intention. God went even further. I don't know, I'm not a doctor, so I know I'm leaving parts of this out, but he gave all of us a liver. He put this inside of you. God placed this function of the liver. The liver filters all of the blood in the body. It breaks down poisonous substances such as alcohols and drugs and any toxic things that we're exposed to. Your liver is already doing that. The liver produces bile, which is a fluid that helps digest fats and carry away waste out of our body. It carries these poisons out. That is a function that God put inside of you. Kidneys. Kidneys are another special filter system that filters the blood. It removes waste products from our blood and produces urine. The kidneys control the level of many substances in the blood, and the kidney helps control your blood pressure. This is a function that God put into your body. So what is God's intent for all of his creation? It's for us to be healed. Okay? Now this one's really cool. Our bodies renew themselves. Curtis, can you hear me okay? If you turn it up a little bit. How about that? Is that any better? Good? Okay. So our bodies renew themselves. This is a function that God put inside of you. I don't really know what to say about bodies renewing themselves, so I looked up some articles, and here are two articles, just little snippets that are in those. This article was published in what's called Scientific America. Scientific America. It was published in April of 2021. It says, about 330 billion cells are replaced daily, equivalent to about 1% of all the cells of your body. In 80 to 100 days, 30 trillion cells have been replenished. This is the equivalent of a new you. Now, it's not a new you, it is the equivalent, okay? 30 trillion cells. Your body is renewing itself every day. That is a function that God has put in you. Now, here's another article from a publication called Your Health. It's called, Does Your Body Really Refresh Itself Every 7 Years? This was published June 28, 2016. It turns out that each body part has its own very distinctive lifespan. Every body part has a specific lifespan. The lining of the stomach is constantly under assault by digestive acids, right? It is renewed every few days. The lining of your stomach is renewed every few days. The bones in your body are refreshed once in a decade. Every 10 years. Some of you guys that are in the 80s, you've had 8 sets of bones. Yeah, I said that, didn't I? Every 10 years, you have a brand new set of bones. God put that function inside of you. And then this article says, there are a few parts of the body that stay with you from birth to death. God put all of these functions in the human body, in the prototype, Adam, the first man. And he had dominion over the earth, which he had dominion over his body. He had authority over the fish, the fowl, the cattle, over all these things. God created us to live in good health. That was his intention. That's the functions he put inside of us. That was his desire. He created us to fight off almost anything we will experience. It's built into us. With all of these built-in functions in our body, and all the renewals, our body's renewing itself all the time, is there any way anyone should be able to say things like, God must want me to go through this sickness? With all those functions that he put in us that automatically function, we constantly hear people say, well, God may wanted me to go through this, or maybe God is allowing this sickness to teach me something. He created us to be well. It's not God's intention to teach you something by putting sickness on you, because that would be double-minded, and God is not double-minded. God is focused on what we are and what we do. Some of the other things people say, God's trying to teach me something, or I've done something wrong in my life. Now, that's a big one because everybody's been taught about sin. So maybe I've done something wrong, and I've disappointed God, and he's disappointed with me, so he's not going to heal me or he's going to let me suffer. Well, before you were even born, he created you with all these functions of healing inside of you. So he's not going to say, you know what, I'm mad at that person, I'm going to let them get sick. You were created with healing functions already inside of you. That is God's intention, period. How about this one? I am waiting on God to heal me. That just goes against everything I just told you about the functions that were put inside of you. You instantly start to heal if you get cut. Your bones instantly start to repair if they get broken. Your body instantly starts to heal or create antibodies to fight sickness and disease. God's intention was for us to be well. Not any of these statements. We weren't created, or weren't we created, to be in good health. We were. We were created that way. And unlike the assembly line of children from Adam, he passed down all of those functions to us. Every one of us have the same functions within us. These kind of statements about maybe God wants us sick or we're waiting on God, and I'm a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to say it anyway, is the same thing as saying what Jesus did on the cross was not good enough for me. And you'll understand why I say I'm ahead of myself. But what Jesus did on the cross is not good enough for me, so I'm going to be sick. Or I'm sick and God's not going to help me or heal me. No. We, as born-again Christians, Jesus Christ substituted us. Where we were fallen, man has fallen through Adam, and we were subject to a curse. We lost our dominion, and the curse brought in sickness and disease that we were not supposed to be experiencing. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for that and substituted His life for us to give us back redemption and dominion in life. Okay? We are always, as born-again Christians, underneath that substitution. You're not going to come out from underneath what Jesus did for you. Jesus healed us by His stripes. Glory to God. That's truth. Let's go to 1 Peter. No, I've got it backwards now. I had Galatians, right? Next one is Galatians. Yeah, Galatians 3:13. Was it Galatians or 1 Peter that I did next? I think it was 1 Peter. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for messing you up. 1 Peter. He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross, willingly offering Himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin. Now listen to these statements right here. This is in the Amplified Bible. Go back. Go back to the previous one. So that we might die to sin, becoming immune, okay, from the penalty and power of sin. And that is sickness and death. Jesus Christ did this so that we can become immune to that penalty of sin. And He did it so that we live for righteousness. For by His wounds or stripes, you who believe have been healed. That's already done. So what Jesus did for us has already been done. Okay? Now we can go to Galatians 3:13. Thank you, Kristen. Christ purchased our freedom. Right? He purchased it. It's paid for. And redeemed us. Redeemed is past tense. He's already restored us from the curse of the law and His condemnation by becoming a curse for us. He substituted Himself for us. He took our curse upon Him and substituted His life to give us His life, restoration. Let's see here. So,
I'm way out of order, but it's okay. I want us to understand what this curse is that we've been redeemed from. Okay? I'm going to read a portion of Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I've pulled certain verses out. So it's not going to be in order, but it is in order, but it's just I'm skipping some verses because I want this to be related to healing. And I also want you to know that Deuteronomy chapter 28 is Old Testament, Old Covenant living. So when the people were there, if they did not follow the laws of God, they were removed from the protections of God, and they were subject to this curse. The Old Testament is written as if God caused all these things to happen. But I want you to understand, if God created these healing functions to be inside of you, He didn't cause these sicknesses and diseases to come upon people. He allowed them to. Now, that's a huge, major difference. So, but this is the... Did you do NIV? Okay. All right. This is Deuteronomy chapter 28, the NIV. And we're going to start with verse 21 and 22. And I'm just going to read it through, but I'll just kind of follow it. The Lord will plague you, and again I said allow, the Lord will plague you with diseases until He has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The Lord will affect you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering sores, and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday you will grope about like a blind person in the dark. The Lord will afflict your knees and legs with painful boils that cannot be cured, spreading them from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. The Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters and severe and lingering illnesses. He will bring on you all of the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring on you, and this is just astonishing, the Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law. That doesn't leave anything out. If there is a sickness or disease that we've heard about today, and even something so rare, it's in this curse. This is awful. Thank God we have a God who loves us, who sent His Son, who redeemed us from this curse. He redeemed us. If the Lord is the one that was making us have these curses, why would He send His Son to stop it? That's why I say it is God has allowed this to happen, because they have removed themselves from the protection of God. God has not put sickness on people and then send His Son to take it away. That would be confusion. It would just be crazy. Jesus paid for our healing. By His stripes you were healed, right? He paid for it. God provided the payment. He provided the payment. And it is enough. It's enough. Sickness, this is my opinion, sickness is an abomination to God. Because sickness makes a mockery of what Jesus, His Son, endured at the cross. God said, "My Son healed you by His stripes." So sickness and disease, which was ushered in by the curse, by the fall of man, has been paid for. And God's like, no, it's paid for. With all of the above, all of the above curses and all the things that God has put within us, God shows us that He wants us well. No one is waiting on God to heal them. He was proactive from the day of creation. From the day of creation, He put all this stuff in us. And when man fell and became subject to the curse, we weren't strong enough to recover from these sicknesses and diseases. So God started the redemption process and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who has paid for this. He created us to heal. He watched His Son being beaten for us. And then Jesus rose from the grave victorious and said, "It is done. It is done." God considers your healing paid for and complete. For Jesus will only go to the cross once. Once. He is victorious. We must, like that song that you sang, we must receive and accept what Jesus Christ has done for us. We need to take it. We need to take it. Okay? So I'm going to swing off of this just a little bit, and I want to go back to the worldly things. Okay? These little Debbies right here. Do any of you have one right now? No, you don't. You can answer that. No, we don't have one. Well, I have paid the price for you to have them, and they are yours. My intention was for you to have them. Right? What price do you have to pay right now for you to have one of these Swiss rolls? No price. There's not a price because I've already paid it. I've already paid the price for you to have these Swiss rolls. Is there anything you can do, to negate what I've already done for you? I bought them. I provided them for you. Can you negate that? Somebody answer it. No. No. Okay. So what is it you must do to get a Swiss roll? Huh?
May I have a little Debbie?
You don't have to ask me. I've provided them for you. That's right. What it is you have to establish a time and a place to go and get it. You claim them. You get them. It's yours. You don't have to ask me for something I've already done for you. Right? You have to decide when to get this thing. Now, that's a stupid little example. But is that not what God did with His Son, Jesus? And He's already paid the price? And He's already provided? You don't have to ask Him to do it for you. He's already done it. It's up to you. It's up to you if you want one of these little Swiss rolls. It's up to you for healing. Okay? Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse. He restored dominion back to us. When we lost dominion over the earth, which is your body as well. He has restored dominion back to you over the earth. Now you have dominion again over your body. Not only that, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and He put the power of God living inside of you. Our bodies are earth. You can speak to the earth or your bodies, and it will respond. So not only is the redemption and the dominion restored, Jesus also gave you authority. So let's see what Jesus says about that. Mark 16, 17 and 18. This is the English Revised Version. And the people who believe, let's just get that right there. The people who believe, That's everyone who believes, right? That is not an exclusion. It excludes the people that don't believe. And the people who believe will be able to do these things as proof. They will use my name to force out demons. Now, how do you use somebody's name? You have to speak. So Jesus told you what to do here. You will use my name to force demons out of people. They will speak in languages they never heard learned. If they pick up snakes or drink any poison, they will not be hurt. They will lay their hands on sick people and they will get well. Now, that is if you believe. That is believers. If you are an unbeliever, this doesn't pertain to you. But Jesus said, if you're a believer. And Jesus is not a liar. So what he says is true. Now, this is the English Revised Version. It's not going to pop up here, but in the Living Bible, TLB, the start of that verse says, and those who believe, again, believers, shall use my authority. So Jesus Christ gained authority, again, because he was victorious when he rose from the grave. And then he says, and those who believe shall use my authority to cast out demons, pick up things with their hands or lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. This is the same verse in the Good News Translation. It says, believers. Okay, so it's all the same. It says, believers will be given the power to perform miracles. And then it goes on about the snakes and the poisons and then laying hands on the sick and these will get well. So the question is today, do you believe? Are you believers? We say we are, but our actions will dictate whether we're believers or not. I can say I believe all day long, but if I never speak to something, what God or what Jesus Christ just said, I'm not applying. You have to apply these things. So, let's step further into this. What else did Jesus say to us in authority? Mark 11:23. We use this one in here all the time. New King James Version. For assuredly I say to you. For assuredly. In the NIV, I think it says truly, truly. So Jesus is trying to get your attention. This is so big that I want you to listen to this. It says, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed. Okay, whoever says to this mountain, whoever says, which is speaking, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in your heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Now that's what Jesus Christ said with your authority. It is yours as a believer. Okay? I like things to be a little simple sometimes, so I really like the International Children's Bible. Now it's not going to pop up here, but Mark 11:23 in the International Children's Bible reads like this. I tell you the truth. So Jesus again listen to this. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, go mountain, fall into the sea, and if you have no doubts in your mind and believe that the things you say will happen, then God will do it for you. Now see, the other one, it's almost too hard for us to believe because it says that if we say something, we will have whatever we say. But we're looking here and saying, well, I'm not strong, I'm not powerful, I'm not magical. Look at me. And so it's hard to believe. So the International Children's Bible helped me when it says, if I speak to the mountain and I'm obedient to God's word by speaking to it, then God will do it for me. Now that I can relate to. So I'm doing what God said to do. God gave us the ability to change things. All right, let's go on with more authority. You are one powerful being. And until you grab it and start using it, you won't experience it. But Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, it's the AMP version. I jumbled them up. That's the reason they're all messed up. So it's all my fault. Anyway, I'm going to read it. When it pops up, you'll see it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. I will give you the keys. I will give you the keys. And I put in parentheses right there after keys. Authority. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth. And in the AMP version it says, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful. Declare means whatever you bind by your words. Whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose or permit, declare lawful, on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. So divine health, provision, joy, happiness has been loosed in heaven. You have the keys or the authority to loose that here. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, fear, anxiety, worry, all of that has been bound. It is not allowed in heaven. So you have the authority to declare that bound here. Jesus gave these things to us because when He redeemed us and we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, we became citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So that's Philippians 3:20. I want to back this up with the Word of God. But we are different because our citizenship is in heaven. You're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You're an ambassador here of that kingdom. You may not feel different. You may not feel powerful. But it's there for believers. It's there in you. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His intentions were you to be in full health. And then when we fail, His intention was to redeem and restore that back to us. And then, now that we still, as humankind, we still have choice. I can choose to believe in what God's done to me, or I can say I'm a believer, and I can still allow all of this sickness and disease to affect me and hurt me. I have choice. But Jesus Christ has provided everything that we need. Redemption, authority, citizenship. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, so He sent the Comforter and power to live within us. Everything we need. We may not feel it, we may not see it, but it's there. As a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, we have the rights and privileges of that kingdom. You're living under the laws of the kingdom of heaven. That's what ambassadors do. Our ambassador to Haiti is living in Haiti under our laws. He's not living under the laws of Haiti. Our ambassador to Spain is living under the laws of America, not under the laws of Spain. America provides for them, not Spain, not Haiti. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. God is providing for us. No sickness, disease, infirmity, infection, or defect is allowed in heaven. It's already bound. You have the rights and the privileges and the ability to bind it. It is your right to be free from those things. Okay? Now, I said God's already done this, just like I've already provided. God's already done this. It's yours. So how do we get God to help us? because we all know that sickness and disease is here. We know people that are affected by it. I'm affected by it. You're affected by it. Everybody's affected by it. Legally, since you're a citizen of heaven and you're living under those rights, we can ask God to remedy this situation that we're facing. Because if He's already provided something and He's already said that He's done it, would it not look good if we go around and say, well, God put this on me and God's not letting me be healed? No. He stands by what He says. So legally, God, please remedy this situation we're facing. Because to Him, it's already done. It's already done. It has been provided for. It's a done deal. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That first Model T that came out of the line was the same as the one that was created currently, which are not being created currently. I know that. And if they were still being created, they would be the same. Okay? Now, this is very, very, very important in my perspective, okay? So you're getting Robert's perspective right here. Don't ask God for something He said He's already done. If I'm asking God for something He said He's already done, did I not just ask Him in unbelief? Because He said He's already done it. So if I'm experiencing sickness and disease, I still need to go to Him, but I need to confirm what He said He's already done. So I'm going to ask God to enforce what He has done. Okay, God, please enforce the healing that You've provided for me, the redemption You've provided for me, the works You've already done through Jesus Christ. Provide the power. And then I take action in agreement with God's Word and speak to the mountain or speak to whatever's ailing me. I'm going to take action on the instructions that God gave us. You establish a time and a place to receive this. Like your song today about the lady with the issue of blood. She established, if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' robe, I will be healed. And then she's like, I established that's what I'm going to do to be healed. And then the time was, He's in town, I'm going now. I'm going to go and get this. And then Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? It was already provided for. He turned around and said, who touched me? She took what was provided. It was already a done deal. We can talk to God and say things like this. And I'm going to read this statement because I think this applies, okay? God, You created me to heal and live in divine health. Isn't that true? Right? All those functions He put within us. You created me to heal and live in divine health. After the fall of mankind, You sent Your Son to pay the price for me to be healed and to restore my body to be like You created it to be. Is that not what Jesus did? He healed us by His stripes. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. His sacrifice was more than enough. It is done. Now, I've just declared what God has done for me, right? Now, I'm taking the authority that God has given. Sickness and disease are forbidden in heaven. Therefore, according to Your word, I can bind it here. I'm establishing the fact that I can bind it. I ask You to use Your power on my behalf. As I obey Your word and speak to the injustice of cancer, diabetes, broken bones, sleeplessness, anxiety, worry, whatever that mountain is in your life, as I obey your word and speak to the injustice of, and I'm just going to say sickness, or let's just say cancer, so I want it to be specific, that I'm experiencing. I'm going to speak to it. On behalf, I ask you to use your power on my behalf as I obey your word and speak to the injustice of cancer that I am experiencing right now. Now, I don't have cancer, but it's just for this example. Cancer. Now, God said to speak to the mountain. Jesus said to speak to the mountain. Cancer. In agreement with God's word, I bind you and command you to leave my body. Now, remember what the children's Bible said? When I speak to it, God will do it for me. Okay? Then I continue on. Cancer, you will never affect me again. Body, now I'm speaking to this earth again. Body, you are healed and all damage is repaired. Holy Spirit, I give my body over to you so that you can make this healing manifest, or reveal to me the things I need to do to receive this healing. You foul spirit of cancer, I command you to leave me and never return. Thank you, Father, for using your power to heal me. I receive this healing now. It is done. Father, I praise you forever. You guys, God created you from the beginning with the full intention that you are to walk in divine health. Through Adam's actions, we lost that. And we lived in a fallen world. And God says, you know, that was not my intention. My intention was you to be in divine health. So He sent His Son to redeem us from this curse, the sicknesses that came upon us. God's intention was being restored. Not only that, He says, you know what, I'm restoring your dominion too. So the power is inside of you. Now that doesn't mean that we as human beings are not experiencing sickness and disease. God gave us choice. And we as believers have to determine whether we believe this or not. And then if I say I believe it, but my heart doesn't, I'm still struggling with it. I have to say these things enough for my heart to get to believe it to where I'm believing it up here as well. And then Jesus said, if you believe. I think I have another verse, Mark 9:23. A father had brought a leprous son or a son with leprosy, and the father says, help me if you can. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. It takes your belief. So tonight is the healing service. And this is all I have for you tonight. And what we're going to do is exercise what God said we can do. So I'm going to ask you if you have anything that is bothering you by ailments, sickness, disease, hurts, pains, sleeplessness, anxiety, you name it, to come up here and let us pray for you tonight. Because we want to take the authority and free you from those things right now. It is yours. It belongs to you. Now, I have a note up here, and I know who it's from. Not you. And they tell me that someone here with headaches, maybe recurring headaches, or maybe has a severe headache now, some dizziness, abdominal pains, or their knees are hurting. God has revealed that to them right now. And He's saying, look, we want to take care of that for you. So if any of those things, come on up here now.